What's up, guys? Max here, back with a brand new episode of the Scuttlebutt Show. Welcome, everybody. Let me hear you. Sound off in the chat. Let me know that you're out there. I want to start today's episode by letting you know I'm wearing a shirt from my good friends over at Voyager Coffee. Voyager Coffee, right here, you see their Facebook page on your screen. If you're out on the East Coast, in Virginia particularly, consider going to check out this veteran-owned coffee business started by a friend of mine who I served with in Iraq. No affiliation, no sponsorship, nothing like that. Just want to let you guys know about some cool people out there in Virginia serving some delicious cold brew coffee. Welcome, everybody. Harry Lion Pie and Eviana in the chat and everybody else. I look forward to hearing from you. Check in. Let me know that you're out there. Let me get that radio check out there from the audience. I have an absolutely insane show for you guys today. I have something for you at the end that's going to tie into something from the beginning that made me almost want to cry. Something that's going to, you know, made me quite upset. Might make you quite upset, too. I hope not to ruin your day or anything like that, but I definitely have something in there that's kind of crazy. Some updates on some old stuff and more. It is going to be a wild and crazy day, a wild and crazy episode of the Scuttlebutt Show here today, Wednesday, September 21st, 2022. That's so weird to say, 2022. How did we get to 2022? That blows my mind. So right away, I'm going to jump into the first story and get a couple of the bad stuff, the bad things out of the way, including an update on a story we had a little while ago. I don't know if you guys remember this, but we have, unfortunately, an update here. A 75-year-old hiker and Marine veteran has been found dead in Nevada, unfortunately. Missing hiker Rock Stanley was found dead Saturday near Mount Charleston Peak Trail, according to the Clark County, Nevada Coroner's Office. 75 years old. He was from Athens, Texas. He was officially pronounced dead 5 p.m. on Saturday. Stanley was last seen 5 a.m. on August 23rd, so he's been missing for 3 weeks near the 2700 block of Kyle Canyon Road. He was visiting Mount Charleston with his wife, Karen, and then he went out and went missing. He was a lieutenant colonel in the Marine Corps, served 36 years. He taught high school for 34 years in Texas and coached sports, according to his granddaughter. He's touched a lot of people's lives in a good way. We've always said this. He is one of the kindest people you'll ever meet. He is definitely the kind of person you would give, who would give you the shirt off his back, Courtney, his daughter said, his granddaughter. The family partnered with a drone pilot, a canine search and rescue team, Red Rock Search and Rescue, and a visual tracking expert to find him after nearly a month-long search. We have not heard an official cause of death, but if one does come out, that's worth mentioning. I'll let you guys know. It's weird in a situation like this for me to say something like, I just hope it was nothing nefarious, because I can't take another horrible victim of a crime. I can't take much more of that. I hope that's not what we're looking at here, but it sounds like it's possible he just got lost or fell or something like that. Whatever it was, it's a horrible thing. But we did cover it, that there was this hiker missing out there in the Nevada area, the Mount Charleston Peak Trail. And now that we have an update, I thought I'd bring that to you guys and let you guys know it's been not resolved necessarily, but you know, there's an outcome here that I can let you guys know about. Sad day for the family. 36 years in the Marine Corps, 34 teach in high school. An American hero, in my opinion, to go from Marine Corps to the schools to teach the kids. What a great life and legacy to leave behind. So good for him. Eviana said, we get there day by day. That's right. We got there day by day. We get through our lives day by day, day by day. I'm actually glad that you said that. Day by day. For a lot of veterans out there, day by day is all we can do. You take it, take everything day by day. Step by step, right? That's what they say about like Navy SEAL training. If you think about 6 months of the hardest training in the world, you're going to get overwhelmed. But if you think about just taking the next step, just finishing the next push-up, just doing the next evolution, you can get through a lot of things. A lot of people out there have a lot of things they need to get through. A lot of veterans dealing with crises, mental health, physical health, injuries, things like that. And the last couple years have been particularly difficult. We went from COVID to the Afghanistan withdrawal, putting people in a challenging position. We're going to talk more about that today. I have a story here from this week that is disturbing, deeply disturbing, and I want to talk about it. This one really gutted me. When I saw this one, it really gutted me that anybody would choose to do this is truly disturbing and really kind of broke me a little bit. A group of protesters, they would want you to believe, tried to overload the VA crisis line to protest prosecution of Capitol rioters. This is despicable. This is really, really bad. A handful of protesters Monday at two Veteran Affairs office buildings in Washington urged their followers to flood the Veterans Crisis Line to call attention to veterans who were jailed in D.C. for participating in the January 6th riot at the Capitol. The protesters live-streamed their gathering on at least two separate YouTube channels, calling for those watching to inundate the crisis line with calls. Why would you do that? One veteran in Oregon who asked that only her first name be used to protect her identity told Military.com she was having a bad day and tried to contact the hotline rather than get in-person mental health support because of an ongoing physical illness. She couldn't get through. Why would you do this? She says, I called 988, which is the crisis hotline number, and then I tried again, and I was like, okay, this isn't working. I called the old number and pressed 1, said Christina, an Army combat veteran who served in Somalia, speaking of the change this summer from an 8-digit phone number to the easier-to-remember 988. But I just sat there forever. Then it switched over to the main National Crisis Center. So she couldn't get through to the VA crisis line. A VA spokesman did not reveal how many calls the line received, but said Monday that service continued and all veterans who called the hotline were assisted, although it sounds like that's not actually the case because they had to get transferred. Every veteran who called the crisis line today was able to connect immediately with caring, qualified responders. Contrary to what Christine said, there was no interruption of service. Veterans can always dial 988 and press 1 for free confidential crisis support 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are at the VA. We're here for you. The Veterans Crisis Line provides support, and as we know, they have been busy this year with calls up, I think, 100% in 2020. And in 2020, they had 1,700 calls per day and 300 contacts a day through chat and text programs, which is a lot. A friend of Christine's who had seen a tweet about the Monday protest organized by what's called the 1776 Restoration Movement contacted Christine about the effort surrounding the crisis line, and she said her overwhelming sadness instantly turned to anger, which just puts her in a worse place. I know who they are, and I was like, oh, hell no, I'm not letting them take my life. So I took everything away and went back in the house. I called my mom. Calling supporters of Donald Trump, who stormed the Capitol in an attempt to prevent the peaceful transfer of power after Joe Biden won the election, political prisoners. The protesters, this is wording from military.com. Basically, this group, the 1776 Restoration Project, calls the people who were arrested after January 6th political prisoners, and the protesters had signs saying VA denies care to J6 vets in the DC gulag. I don't know what to make of that. The protesters live streamed their efforts for hours. Why you would target the VA crisis line and say that you support the troops, of course, that's what they're going to say. I'm sure a lot of veterans part of that group as well. I can't think of a worse possible track to take there. It's insane. A woman on the broadcast then identified herself as Sherry Hafner, a 12-year Army combat vet who served during Desert Storm, saying, these guards in the DC gulag are trying to kill our vets. The woman appears in other videos posted by other channels for freedom-based events, although, of course, they're partisan. A protester who identified himself as Justin Johnson to a VA official earlier in the video then showed the number for the Veterans Crisis Hotline. They made it easier than ever to call, Johnson said, sporting an Operation Iraqi Freedom OIF hat. So let them know that there is inhumane treatment going on at the DC jail and that nobody's doing anything and that the American people can expect the VA to get right in the middle of this yesterday. So, the 1776 Restoration Project here. Apparently, military.com reached out to David Valentine, who says he's the owner of Freedom Express Media and a member of the Restoration Movement. Those veterans have spoken to us via phone calls and letters explaining how their civil rights and medical needs have been ignored. Some of them have medical and psychological needs that are urgently needing addressed, and this plea was last resort call to action on their behalf. So what they're saying is the veterans that are in jail in regards to this are being denied health care that they're entitled to. And as a result, they decided this was a way to draw attention. I think that this is a horrible thing to do. Horrible. So there is a lot of more information in this article about the Freedom Restoration Movement, but I'm not really interested in sharing it because I don't know anything about this group. And anybody who would do this to the VA crisis line, putting veterans in harm's way again, does not get a lot of respect from me. So you know, other people from that organization have claimed that they don't agree with this or that they don't support it, but saying that that one of these people at a gentleman by the name of Adig said there are just some things that are effing off limits, and think of those poor people who are manning the lines and their jobs is to deal with veterans every day. They didn't need that. So there's some contradiction there, but it sounds like this did happen, and it's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. That group should be totally ashamed. I can't believe that anybody would do that, honestly. I'm really shocked. The 1776 Restoration Movement appears to be an anti-government group that subscribes to a number of disproven theories, what they call grievances, and they are all regarding partisan issues with the current administration. That's fine. You can have issues with any administration. I certainly have a few myself, but you should then, you know, go out there and make some positive change, maybe influence people to care more about the issues and not do something like attack the veterans crisis line. That's how you lose support right there, folks. That's the number one way to do it. That's how you make yourself quite unpopular. So let me know what you guys think about that in the comment section. I'm curious to hear what you think. Who would do such a thing? Who would do such a thing? Eviana says that's really disgusting and super immature. Yeah. Harry Lime Pie says that's like blocking 911. Yeah. Kitty says, how is this protesting? That's messed up. I agree. There's I'm going to share something with you guys later, and I want you to keep that story in mind as we get to something later on in this episode that's going to be pretty impactful for you. It was for me. I haven't even I watched 5 seconds of a video, and I had to turn it off because I was it made me emotional, and I want to be able to share it with you guys for the first time that I see it and the first time that you see it here live on the Scuttlebutt Show. So we've been talking a lot recently about recruiting, especially in regards to the Army. I posted that video where we talked about the deaths at Fort Bragg on TikTok, and people were like, do Fort Carson next, do Fort Hood next. And I'm like, what a horrible thing to say. Like, talk about how many people are dead there. Like, do me next. We're all dead here. And that's kind of crazy. If you guys follow me on TikTok, you probably saw what I was talking about. But the Army isn't giving up. They're going to try to recruit still. They're going to try to get their recruiting up. You got to get those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers. And they're making their efforts. Genius move over here. Army moving very quickly toward expanding recruit prep course amid troop level crunch. Isn't that called JROTC? Don't reinvent the wheel, folks. We have JROTC already. We have programs in place to get people ready for service. Now they want to invent one. But it's not necessarily for kids. This is for young adults. Top Army leaders are looking at expanding a pilot program launched last month at Fort Jackson that provides structured guidance and training to recruit hopefuls who previously failed to meet academic or physical enlistment standards. So basically what they're saying is here, young people, young adults, are too weak and dumb to join even the Army, who notoriously takes, well, the dumb and the weak. Look at, you know, no offense to people out there, but, we, you know, with stuff like McNamara's morons being enabled in Vietnam, and then recent news that they were going to lower the academic standards to get people in Army, which they then kind of walked back because of public outcry. There is no shortage of willingness to lower the standards in Army recruiting. But they say that they don't have to do that because they can actually whip people into shape and get them studying with a brand new course. An official decision to expand the program might not come for months, but it said here that the feedback showed pretty good success from the local program among potential recruits participating in what they're calling a Future Soldier Prep course. It's especially important that the Army got the program right, although I doubt they did. We're actually moving very quickly toward expanding the program, McConville said at Fort Benning. We want to make sure what we get that we get it right, and then we want to scale it and expand it if it gives us the results that we want. Their claim, especially with the pandemic, is that people are now less educated and less physically active than they've ever been. Well, yeah, if you don't let people go to school and tell them that they can't leave their house, that's probably what you're going to get. We talked about this a lot in the show. Closing down gyms, closing down schools, all that stuff still to this day with issues with that kind of thing, and new requirements in place and all that. I get it. People had to stay safe and healthy, but of course, now we're going to be up against these challenges. Of course. So you get exactly what you would expect to get here. I don't see where there should be no shock. The fact that only now that the consequences are upon us do we start to take action just shows lack of forethought into these issues. Fort Benning, you know, where they're trying this stuff out, is home to several Army marquee training programs at the service's Maneuver Center of Excellence, including initial entrance training for all recruits joining the infantry or Ranger or Special Forces qualification training. So that's pretty cool. The program launched in early August, allowing individuals to participate in courses to help them raise their Armed Forces qualification test scores, their AFQT, or basically their ASVAB test. Or alternatively, if they need help with physical fitness standards, they have that too. To meet eligibility requirements, individuals must score 31 or higher on the AFQT and meet body fat standards of 20 to 26% for males and 30 to 36% for females. You can help people study, you can whip them into shape, but you have to get them willing to be recruited too. Now, only some 23% of the Army's target recruiting market, Americans aged 17 to 24, meet those standards. So only 23% of 17 to 24-year-olds meet the minimum standards. It used to be 29%, so it's down 6%. And if that's a trend of downward movement, then that would be really, really bad. And then out of that 23%, only 9% shows interest in joining. Not good. Not good. So we'll see what happens here. They have to get these people trained up pretty fast because they're already going to miss their goals by like 10,000 people or more this year. So it says prep course graduates were receiving leadership positions within their boot camp classes. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that with whatever exposure you get to the military, to troops who are training you, you're going to be more prepared than somebody who doesn't have any of that. And they just go down to the recruiter and say, hey, I want to go get my hooah on. All right, dude, you're going to boot camp tomorrow. Here's your backpack. Here's your study guide. Good luck. And they're like, all right, great. So there, it does say in here in an article they're going to miss their recruiting goals by 10,000, and they're trying to think of anything that they can to help with those numbers. But with programs like JROTC, ROTC, Sea Cadets, Boy Scouts of America, Girl Scouts of America, things like that, there is plenty of an opportunity to get people training and prep for military service or recruiting, them from those programs. And lowering the standards is definitely not the way. So I'm glad to see that they are doing stuff. I guess that's good. I mean, they're doing something. It's better than doing nothing. It's better than a lot of the stuff that we've seen. Hopefully, they're able to get some kids active again. But it is scary to think that that there is a incredible shortage of qualified candidates. 23% of Americans can get a 31 on the ASVAB or just meet the body weight standards. You're telling me 80% of Americans are either too dumb or too fat to join the Army in the 17 to 24 age range? That's super sad. That actually really makes me upset to hear kind of pathetic. It's pathetic. Let me know what you guys think about that in the comments section. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Now, when it comes to recruiting, being unqualified, being ineligible due to your own gluttony or laziness is one thing. That's one thing. But the fact that recruiters are up against challenges is no shocker to me. We have so many stories about people in the military struggling because of leadership and other issues and not being taken care of. And not only that, but the cover-ups. What really disturbs me is the cover-ups. We've got just what appears to be lie after lie, cover up after cover up in the military, denial, denial, denial. It's a huge bummer. It is a massive, massive, major bummer. It breaks my heart. I mean, I'm really seriously. Like the fuel into water in Hawaii, Denisha Montgomery, Stu Scheller, I could go one after the other. It's heartbreaking. And I've got another story coming up here that is just going to add fuel to the fire. Or you might say, fuel to the water. Sailors reportedly drank jet fuel contaminated water on the USS Nimitz this week and showered in it. So that's great. And I got a photo here for you. The aircraft carrier USS Nimitz drinking water was contaminated with jet fuel on Friday, and several sailors reportedly drank and showered in it before the water was pumped out. Terminal CWO, which is a social media page that airs grievances from whistleblowers in the military, was the first to publish accounts of the aircraft's water contamination this past Monday. And now we're able to cover it here. By the way, fun fact, whistleblowing was invented by the Navy back in American Revolution timeframe. That's where the word comes from, in case you didn't know. Lieutenant Commander Adam Demeter, a spokesperson for the carrier, said, to American military news that the ship's water supply was indeed contaminated with jet fuel. This is confirmed. On September 16, 2022, the aircraft carrier USS Nimitz identified traces of jet propellant used to fuel carrier-based aircraft in the ship's potable water supply, potable meaning drinkable, while operating off the coast of Southern California. The crew immediately took action to secure access to the ship's potable water and provided bottled water to the crew. After conducting a thorough flush and inspection of its potable water system, fresh water has been restored to the ship. The water on board the ship is safe for use, and health and well-being of our sailors is a top priority. But what was it exactly that they were drinking? Brace yourselves, folks. This is what they were drinking. This is what the crew of the USS Nimitz was drinking. When you take fuel and mix it with water, put it into a jar and let it sit, it's going to naturally separate. That's how you do fuel samples at an aircraft. That's the typical way that we test water and fuel. You just can look at it. You just can let it sit and look at it. So look at what the people on the USS Nimitz were drinking last Friday. Let that sink in, so to speak, pun intended. That is what people were drinking and showering in. Yes, folks, right there. Take it all in. That is disgusting. Navy Commander Zachary Harrell, a spokesperson for Naval Air Force Pacific, said the ship's leaders were not aware of any sailors who drank or showered in the water. Yeah, okay. We can confirm that we've had no confirmed cases of illnesses on board that were related to the issue. Who knows? Maybe some diarrhea. But, you know, it's the exposure to that kind of contaminant. In my opinion, every sailor on board that ship should get a letter of exposure that they were exposed to contaminated water with fuel while they were on board the USS Nimitz, and that needs to be in their record, documented for presumptives from the VA. Get it done. It says from Terminal CWO, 6 hours had passed between when the contamination was first discovered and when the ship's crew was fully notified. So for 6 hours, people were walking around hitting the scuttlebutts, the water fountains, and taking showers and all that stuff and using the head. People were probably cooking with that water. It is disgusting. As soon as leadership was made aware of the contamination in the potable water system, action was taken to secure access. After the water system was secured, the commanding officer made an announcement on the ship's PA system. The 1MC is what that's called. Understandably, there have been some complaints about the water from the crew, but there have been no confirmed cases of illness related to contaminated water aboard the ship. Yikes. That's just one more time that sailors are getting poisoned by the water. Sailors and their families. That's it. I'm declaring it right now. I'm declaring it, folks. You can just listen. Just do what I listen, Navy leadership. Here's what you need to do. Every sailor who was on board that ship needs a letter of exposure in their permanent service record and medical record for presumptives from the VA for exposure to fuel. That's it. It's that simple. Do that. You're good to go. Let me know what you guys think in the comment section down below. That's what you need to do. You can do nothing less. You can do nothing less and still call yourself caring about your troops. That's it. That's what you have to do. Let me check in on the comments here really quick. Let me know what you guys think about that. I'm so curious. Whenever parents talk to me about their kids joining the Army, I always say don't. Kitty, I'm sorry to hear that, but that's true. Robert says this generation would have lost World War II. Who knows, man? Who knows? Kitty says they always have this fantasy idea about the military, usually what Hollywood portrays. Yeah. Eviana, barf face from the water. I agree. If you guys listen on the podcast and you're listening on Spotify, you know you can watch this episode with video on Spotify, or you can jump over to the YouTube channel and check it out there. Kitty says, I read comments from people who were supposedly on the ship saying they were charging for the bottles of drinking water. What? That is not okay. I'll check on that. Robert says, the image of that water just undid all the positive propaganda efforts of Top Gun. Hell no, it didn't. Hell no, it did not. Top Gun Maverick was the greatest movie that I've ever seen. And I love it, and nothing can ever hurt that for me. I've taken a couple JP5 baths in my time, especially when I was working as a purple shirt on the flight deck of the USS Ronald Reagan. ABFs, aviation bosun mate fuels, working out there, replacing fuel lines on those giant reels that would come out of little fuel stations on the side of the catwalks on the flight deck, and just get dumped, covered in fuel, covered in JP5 jet fuel. And I think I don't know, who knows? I had some skin issues afterwards, could have been related, who knows? All right, guys. This is the moment you've all been waiting for. I have an insane, I'm going to unpack layers of insanity. It's not just one insane thing with this story. It actually is the Swiss cheese model that we were talking about yesterday. We have to go down the line and talk about how psycho this next story is, okay? This is your headline story, and then we're going to do some reactions to some videos, and we're going to end it on a positive note. But this is one of the most legit insane things that I've ever heard. South Carolina inmate actively in prison sentenced for sextortion scheme that targeted the military, making this gentleman the Scuttlebutt Show clown of the day. Darnell Khan could be many things from inside his prison cell. He could be a young woman looking for love, an angry father, or a menacing private investigator. All he needed was a smartphone, and that's exactly what he had. This is some truly disturbing stuff. Khan, who's 39 years old, was sentenced to 7 years in federal prison, although I think he should have gotten much more, on Tuesday for his role in a sextortion scheme that targeted dozens of members of the military and netted him over $60,000 from prison. It says here, from January 2017 to July, Khan extorted over 40 young servicemen he met online by initially claiming to be an adult woman, then pretending to reveal that he was an underage girl. "This is inexcusable," said U.S. Attorney Adair Burroughs. "Mr. Khan knowingly used deceit to prey on those who serve our nation." While incarcerated in 2017, Khan catfished his victims using a smartphone that had been smuggled into the prison. Prosecutors say Khan set up an online dating profile while posing as a woman. He then sought out young men in the military and sent them nude pictures of a woman that he found online. He was in jail. He was in jail, and he reached out and hurt so many veterans. Wait till you hear what happened. Khan would then ask his victims to send their own nude images and personal information. Afterwards, the victims would get a call from Khan pretending to be either the girl's father or a private investigator, informing them that the woman they were talking to was actually a minor. They would then freak out. Khan would threaten to notify law enforcement to have the victims arrested or dishonorably discharged unless they sent him money. At the time, Khan was already serving a 25-year sentence for voluntary manslaughter and attempted armed robbery, so killing people. This is another in a long line of cases that would be stopped if we had the ability to jam cell phone signals in prison, said Brian Sterling. "I am calling on Congress to support a hearing on the Cell Phone Jamming Reform Act and allow states to use technology to stop inmates from using these illegal phones to prey on innocent victims." One of Khan's co-conspirators, Lakeisha Norris, was charged with acting as a go-between. Norris retrieved the money that had been wired by the victims and sent it on to Khan. In sentencing documents, Norris's lawyer, Naki Richardson Box, wrote in 2017, Norris had developed a romantic relationship with Khan over Facebook while he was in prison. None of this should have happened, and the part that's bothering me the most about this story and why I'm getting so worked up is coming here in a second. Norris didn't know where the money was coming from and fully cooperated with investigators. Yeah, right. Norris pled guilty to conspiracy to commit money laundering and was sentenced to 3 years of supervised release and a small restitution payment. Oh, man. But listen to this, folks. One victim, Jared Johns, committed suicide when scammers found from inside the Lee Correctional Institution claimed to be the furious parents of a fictitious 17-year-old girl that Johns believed to have met through plentyoffish.com. So they had gotten this guy in one of their schemes, and when the parents of that person called claiming to be irate about this underage girl that he was sex messaging, he took his own life. The scammers ended up demanding thousands of dollars from Johns, who was suffering from PTSD after serving in Afghanistan, who then took his own life. This guy was in prison, and he reached out and scammed somebody so bad that they took their own life. What is going on in the world? United States District Judge Richard Gergel sentenced Khan, who was represented by G. Wills Dixon, to 3 years of supervised release. Assistant U.S. Attorney Catherine Orville and Amy Bauer prosecuted the case, which was investigated by the Defense Criminal Investigative Service, NCIS, and the South Carolina Department of Corrections. What a monster. He's a killer. He's in prison. Apparently, prison's not a real thing anymore. He can just get a cell phone and then scam people. He went on this scam for 6 months, stealing $60,000 from veterans, and got one person so bad, gave them so much guilt and this fear that they were going to lose everything, lose their money, lose their career, they took their own life. There's not enough days in jail for this guy. Not enough days in the future of our planet doesn't have enough days left for him to serve his time that he deserves for that. Let me know what you guys think about that in the comments section. Wow. I saw that story, and at first I was like, Here we go. Another scam or just another scam story. We just had a story like that recently this week, you know, this week. And I thought, you know, it was just going to be another one of those. But then I heard about John's and my heart breaks for the family out there. My heart breaks for the family. I don't know. I can't even put it into words. It's hard to describe. That is so upsetting to me that I can't take it. I cannot take it. Please, I share this story and those kinds of stories, and I want you guys to keep in mind that that kind of thing happens. So if you start getting suspicious calls, emails, or somebody in your family does, and I know this happens all the time, and I know people listening to this show right now have experienced this. If you hear about this happening to somebody, let them know they're getting scammed. This is not a real thing. Nobody ever asks for money for anything unless they're scamming you. There is no legitimate reason. Tell them, if you feel like you've done something wrong and people start blackmailing you and extorting you, tell them, call the police. Then call the police. I'm not sending you anything. It is never legit. These are criminals. They know what they're doing. And these scams are so common, it is, I'm going to say, almost impossible that you actually do something that lands you in this type of situation. It is always you getting scammed. Never. Do not let this happen to you. Do not let it happen to somebody you care about. What a disgrace. What a disgrace. I'm truly bothered by that, but we're going to bring it back. We're going to bring it back around to something positive before we get out of here. We're going to get out of here a little bit early today, but not without making a big impact. Harry Lime Pie says, I had a high school friend that was on a carrier in the late 80s. He said the showers always smelled like JP5. Yeah, it was like that in the 2000s too. I can say that. The image of that water. Oh yeah, Robert said about Top Gun. Kitty says, I hope he'll be charged for that innocent man's suicide. At this point, he needs to be put down. Not even prison can stop him. Seriously. Eviana says, or ask for gift cards. Gift cards are scammers too. Absolutely. Yeah. It's like, it feels like a more benign version of the scam, but it's equally bad. It's equally bad. I'm going to give you guys a chance, though, to redeem humanity, your faith in humanity. I've got two things that we're going to end on here. We're going to get out of here a little bit early. Two things. This is really moving, guys. This next story is really moving. But as we go into this next story, I want you to keep in mind the story we had earlier about the group, the Freedom 1776 Restoration Movement group, clogging up the VA crisis line. Absolutely despicable. I want you to keep that in the back of your mind as we watch this next video. Traffic stop on I-84 turns into a heartwarming moment between a Connecticut state trooper and an Army veteran. Watch this video with me and see if you can avoid crying. That's what I want to know. Can you make it through this video without crying? We'll see. I'm going to do my best, but let's watch this thing.
What's going on, boss? What's going on?
I'm on the phone with the VA hotline.
Okay.
For suicide.
All right. Hey. Well, I got you, man, all right? What branch you in?
Army.
All right. Hey, my name's Kyle. All right? We'll help you out. All right, bud? I'm here with you, all right? I'm going to start an ambulance over here to us, okay? All right, bud? Hey, no. Hey. If I send you, it's nothing on you, okay? State of Connecticut covers that. All right? Can we step out of the car, boss? Just so we can talk?
826.
Hey, come in the front of your truck, bud.
820.
Starting an ambulance to the 68 off ramp eastbound. I'm with a vet who's on the suicide hotline.
Here's my ID.
Sorry, man. Hey. You have anything on you?
No.
Okay, is there anybody checking? Cool. Any deployments, bud?
One.
Well, hey, dude. It's a tough time for everyone in your position, all right? Relax, though. Hey, I'm here with you, okay?
Come here. Have a hug.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Take a moment with that one. September 11th of this year in Connecticut, state trooper pulls up. This guy had his hazard lights on. And that's what he finds. says, I'm going to call you an ambulance. What do they say? I can't afford it. How helpless. How helpless must this person have felt right then? Says, I'm on the phone with the VA for suicide. You just hear it in his voice. Man, I just got to take a minute with that. And he asked the guy for a hug. A hug. That's what he said. Can I have a hug to the state trooper? Jesus. I mean, if this police officer didn't pull over, who knows? But it says here, Kyle Kalbauer Bearer pulled over to the shoulder on exit 68 of I-84 to assist a motorist with their hazard lights. I know where I-84 is. Kale Bearer found a man in distress who identified himself as an Army vet. The man said he was on the phone with a counselor for suicide prevention. Oh, man. Tough. The state police said the veteran was able to receive medical assistance and reminded Connecticut residents to call 988. 988. The suicide hotline number. If you're having some kind of crisis. So this guy just had his hazard lights on. That's it. And, you know, I guess in life you got to look out for hazard lights, right? Like, we all need to be looking out for each other, right? Look out for your battle buddies and your friends and your family and see when they have their metaphorical hazard lights on. You know, those are the signs. Those are the warning signs. This guy literally had his hazard lights on, but he got, like, we got to look out for people when they put their hazards on. There's a good metaphor there, I believe. And you know, we know what the warning signs are if people start to withdraw, start talking, saying, you know, out of character things, giving their things away, you know, being depressed, you know, not taking care of themselves, not showering, things like that. But Jesus, thank God this guy, this trooper, just bravo, Zulu. That really got me. Holy smokes. That really got me. It was just so, that was so raw. This guy's just sobbing. You know, it's, you hate to see that. But God damn. Thank goodness somebody was there. Some police doing some great stuff out there. And you like to see that, right? I'm not even going to play that again. That's too much. But you know, I guess what I'll just say about it before I move on is just look out for each other and look out for your friends and family and loved ones and the people you care about. When they put their metaphorical hazard lights on, pull over and ask if they're okay. And geez, that can make all the difference, as we just saw here. Let me know what you guys think about that in the comments section. Oh my God, that one really got me. Holy crap. That is, man, scary, scary stuff. I got to just take a minute. That really got me. But I mean, when he said, I'm on the phone for suicide, that got me. And then when the cop said, I'm going to call the police, and he said, I can't afford it. That just shows you how helpless that person was feeling in that moment. He thought he couldn't, you know, he didn't have anywhere else to turn. Thank God he called the line and bought some time for somebody to intervene, but whew, oh man. Oh my God. Let me just check in with some comments here and get myself together. Tommy, what is up? Thank goodness the cop stopped to check. Absolutely. Ancient says, lots of trust that trooper had to hug him. That's a great point. That state trooper, you know, police have to have their guard up all the time, but I guess when you see somebody, you just know when they're being sincere or not. But let that guy come up and hug him. Let him get close like that is, you just need that human contact sometimes. You just need that human connection. Harry Line Pie says, could have ended way worse. Eviana says, hugging him virtually. That's right. Kitty says, do you think the cop was a veteran and understood what was going on? Maybe. Maybe. If that Army vet is watching, that he can message, call anytime to talk, Eviana says. Well, that's really sweet. You can, if that person ever sees this video and they feel like they want to talk about that, they can find me at the Scuttlebutt Show. and they can talk about it. And maybe I just want that state trooper to know what a hero he is. And everybody who helped, you know, eventually ambulance crew came, doctors treated him. Everyone who helped, just thank God. You know, we need that intervention piece. You really do. You need that intervention piece because sometimes it's sometimes 5 minutes can separate you from a true, you know, mental health crisis and being totally fine. You can be right at the edge. And if you can buy somebody 5 minutes and get them to take a deep breath, you can pull them right back. And that's what the crisis line can do. God, now I'm even more pissed at the Freedom Restoration Movement group. What assholes. Imagine if that was that day and they were blocking up the line of heat and that guy couldn't get through. Unreal. Unbelievable. Golly. All right. Whew. Let's bring it back. I'm going to cry about that one later. So there's one more thing I want to show you guys, and we're going to end it on a positive note, and I'm going to get you guys out of here. That gave us faith in humanity, but this reminds us why we love the troops. I've got a TikTok video here. Recruiting is down, but maybe instead of trying to reach out to high school kids, just know that somewhere out there, some kid is watching this and heading down to the recruiting office tomorrow morning.
Say, yeah, buddy. Rolling like a big shot. Chevy tuned up like a NASCAR pit stop. Fresh paint job. Fresh inside. Is the outside frame in the trunk wide? Or the rims big? Do it ride good. Lean back, right hand on the fine wood. Cream on the inside, clean on the outside. Cream on the inside, clean on the outside. I say, yeah, buddy. Rolling like a big shot. Chevy tuned
up. Actually, I'll stay over here for a second. Shout out to these guys. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know. Are you out there? Let me know who you are, why you did this, who put this together. You guys are awesome. That is a lot of fun. That is a lot of fun. Now, stay safe. You guys look like you're in the Army, so look out for your battle buddies, your NCOs or whatever. They'll probably see this and they'll come get you in your sleep. So, good job. Bravo, Zulu. You guys are super legit. Just having a good time. And I do love that. And I do love that. All right. Having some fun. All right, that makes me feel good. Thank you, guys. Let me know what you guys think about this one in the comment section. Good job. Good job. Tommy says, last time you said ended on a positive note, you made us all cry. I'm sorry, but that is a positive. I mean, that is a positive story. That is humanity right there. And we need that a lot. Especially, you know, we're coming off the story of the guy who scammed out of prison, which is unbelievable. When you have a story like that and the Freedom Restoration Movement story that we had earlier in this episode, you need something to remind you that people can take care of one another. You do. You really need that. So look out for each other. Look out for each other's hazard lights. Look out for the people in your life, your family, your kids, your parents, your spouse, your brothers and sisters, and your battle buddies, and look out for when they put their hazard lights on. Pull over and give them a little courtesy check. All right. When your check engine light's on, when your hazard lights are on, and you see that somebody's struggling, just give them a courtesy check. Hey, what's going on, man? What's going on, friend? All right. All right. So I'm going to wrap it up there. Robert says, what does that logo on your shirt stand for? It's a V. If you aren't here for the beginning of the show, I want you guys to know that this stands for Voyager Cold Brew Coffee, started by a United States Navy SEAL, a buddy of mine that I served with in Iraq. When I was in Virginia in July, I got to go check out that place and have some of the coffee. If you're out on the East Coast, consider checking out Voyager Cold Brew Coffee, and you're supporting a vet, you're supporting a good business, and you're getting some good cold brew coffee. All right, not sponsoring anything. That is not, there's no affiliation. That guy doesn't know I'm doing this. I'm wearing the shirt and I want to support my buddy and some veteran-owned businesses. So that's what you got there. All right, folks, I'm going to wrap it up there and get you out of here about 15 minutes early so you can go enjoy the day with doing whatever you love on this hump day. I'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode of the Scuttlebutt Show. Enjoy. Enjoy your day. I hope you got something good out of today's episode. Share these stories. Share these videos. Consider shopping at scuttlebuttshow.com. Consider going and follow me on all the Instagrams and all that social media stuff. And you can always find me at thescuttlebuttshow@gmail.com or message me on any of the socials, and you guys got to contact directly to me. Thank you very much. I appreciate you guys. I've got some cool stuff in the works for you. I can't wait to share more about it. I look forward to talking to you all very soon, folks. And for now, you guys know what time it is. For now, that's the Scuttlebutt.